Cedric Muhammad.
I cannot talk about Brick City with R&B in the background. Let's see if this is better. Okay, maybe a little better, a little more dramatic. Okay, what I love about Brick City is there are real people that I can vouch for in terms of their work, in terms of my interaction with them, in terms of what I can see of their heart. Some just beautiful people. I'm just so happy to see them on TV that for that alone, I love Brick City featuring Brother David Muhammad in Newark. Anyone knows David Muhammad in Newark? The incredible work that he has been doing for years. Years. I'm talking even in college at Rutgers. David Muhammad is featured in Brick City. Works with our people in the streets, all circumstances. People call on him. And they don't even have to call. Brother David is automatically there. He's in there. Let me give him a standing ovation. So for that alone, Brick City, I love you. Put my man David Muhammad on the big screen. Now I'm giving my reasons why I like Brick City. Brick City features another one. Hold on, let me do some book promotion. This brother even came on my show. Hold on, let me put a red flag up real quick. Hold on. Let's relax. Hold on. That's right, War of the Bloods. Jawi. Let me see if I can get the whole book in there. You all know Jawi came on my show. I have a lot of respect for him. He is featured as well in Brick City. Another reason that I like it. Deshaun Jawi Morris. The War of the Bloods in my veins. Okay? Let the red flag hang for a minute. Cory Booker, who someone I've spoken to. Let me give him a round of applause. I know there's a little some tension over Cory. I don't think one thing about Cory I'd say is not hard to find, as Brick City makes clear. On, you know, the people know him, whether they like him or not, they've told him to his face in many cases. Let me put a little pic of Cory up. And I actually have women down here in the Maryland area that asked me about Cory Booker. And of course, I don't traffic in that, but you know what I mean? I might look into it if I had inside information, all right? Here's a picture of Cory speaking to the police department, a little pep talk. They don't look very inspired, but he did give them a pep talk about the crime problem in Newark. So I think Cory Booker is someone to watch. He makes people uncomfortable for many of the same reasons that Barack Obama makes people uncomfortable, because he has moved in very high elite circles and entered into the community perhaps from the top down. Rhodes Scholar. We'll play some audio in a little bit from Amiri Baraka questioning the credentials of Cory Booker. Another person, Raz Baraka, is in the film, documentary. I have actually seen, matter of fact, I got introduced to Raz's work at Rutgers when I went to RU, but he invited me to his school. I actually had the beautiful experience of speaking to a class that Raz Baraka was teaching in, this must have been 1993 or 4, and I remember Raz pulled me off to the side and he said, he put a picture on the wall, they had Minister Farrakhan on the wall, and I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if I'm correct. Any event, these are all individuals that I'm just so happy to see get public attention that they deserve and which they probably don't seek, okay? In the case of Cory Booker, it's not hard, but Raz Baraka, Jawi, and David Muhammad, okay? Now, that's what I like about the show. Let me give you something else. I think it's shot very well. Some of the cinematography, I don't know the proper language to use, but they use kind of a hip-hop rap video feel to it. There's a couple videos in particular that come to mind with the cinematography for Brick City gets an applause. All right. Now, here's what I have some concerns about with Brick City. why is it that Forrest Whitaker is also involved with Levin and Benjamin, okay? But why is it that I feel like the story of Newark is being told, but in a way that's designed to help these guys get a series called The Wire 2, Newark. You feel me? It's not really, if the goal, Forrest Whitaker said that the goal was to highlight the problem of urban renewal. And that's nice, but this show is really maybe about that. And it's also about getting a show. It's also about turning this into a series where they, as he mentioned, would be able to do this across the country. Or you have a show called Brick City that everybody would watch, including me, patterned after The Wire. And you ask anyone in Baltimore, is The Wire accurate? Does it depict, you know, real situations? People will say yes. But is that the new rap game? Is the documentary game becoming the new rap game? Where we just, you know, we teach reality. We're the CNN of the hood. Is this like where we're going with this? Everybody's hood now is going to be profiled, and Showtime and HBO and Sundance and the Independent Film Channel and Stars and Cinemax are going to now finance these programs. Let me put somebody's picture up who I got to meet through people that I respect. I don't want to be disparaging in any way, but I do want to put up Ed Burns. That's his picture right there. He was the man that's involved with The Wire. I had a chance to talk to him, interact with him briefly. There's a whole cottage industry, is my point. Of big money entertainment industry figures who know that this story will sell. The story of a blood dating a Crip. The work that the beautiful people in Newark are doing. A young, energetic mayor, Obama-like in the view of some, and Cory Booker, Raz Baraka, Mary Baraka, the whole lineage, the legacy continuing on. That's big money in financing that, putting that on the big screen. And I just wonder, is this just another version of the commercialization of the worst or the poor part of our existence in the name of, as we would say from our perspective, showing reality? Is this the new NWA, basically? They just teaching reality. And are we accepting it because the programs now have more balance than the rap videos? Now, I know from people associated, live in Newark, I'll say, that a lot of material has been left out. A lot of material is still on the cutting room floor for Brick City. A lot of people were maybe, so we're getting only a partial picture, okay? Keep that in mind. If you've seen it, I'd like to know your thoughts. Let me know. Let me give you another clip. Again, the man on your screen is Ed Burns. He's one of the men behind The Wire. Are the people of Newark really going to benefit from Brick City, is what I'm saying? How is Newark, not Cory Booker, the mayor, he's in a position to benefit. How are the people of Newark going to benefit from Brick City? Is it just we got our story told and there's a sense of expression from that? Brick City, I want your thoughts. I'm going to give you another clip of some of the show content that I weave together. These are the real voices, real people in Newark. I know some of them. My Jersey representatives, if you're out there, I'd especially like to hear from you. North Jersey, in particular Newark, Illtown. Here's another clip from Brick City.
We're having an insurgent with prostitution on Broad and Third.
People are having sex, you know, on the side of our homes.
It seems like police are routinely being taken off the beat in the North Ward and being sent downtown because there's a concert at the Prudential Center.
2 years, you want a new precinct, we're going to get new recruits. Okay, I don't see it. I feel like I'm alone here. I feel like you have failed me, honestly. I have nothing else. I'm done. I'm really finished.
Okay, thank you.
I was looking at your 28 days, 47 burglaries, 27% increase from last year.
We're missing serious information here.
You got 47 burglaries. Were any fingerprints lifted at any of those jobs?
We only did a total of 20 assignments. 19 were negative, one with points, no match.
Come out. No positive proof. That's not good enough.
No, we're
folks,
actually...
we got a problem with burglaries.
Yes.
Right? Call me presumptive, but burglars are usually junkies, right? Junkies would give up their mother if it would help them. Now listen, on the bright side, we've been fortunate that your murders are down dramatically. So don't give up working on the violence to address your burglaries. You know what I want to talk about? Did anybody see the New York Times article last week? The Times did an article about what's happening here. They interviewed one guy who just got out of jail. He was in for 2 years on a narcotics charge. And he said, I see more cops out here. There's less places to hustle. And then he said, I'm going to have this made into a plaque. He said, made me realize that I have to get a job. Just think about that. The fact that somebody coming out of jail, looking at the work that you all are doing, and said, you know what? I got to go straight. I got to go legit. I can't sell drugs anymore. Not because he's afraid of getting killed, because he's afraid of what we're doing.
Ah, please let me get to school and fund in a day and a job.
Coleman.
How you know that?
Let's go into the office.
Okay.
The mayor's main concern is this North resident.
Yes.
If you're a North resident, you meet the criteria that we have. We have no problem putting you at a construction site.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I have to place somebody tomorrow at a site.
That's I want to work. 8:30 tomorrow.
8:30 tomorrow.
I'll be there at 8.
That's even better.
What is
the
love?
What
you
got this
morning?
She brought him to the site, give him to you, and now the relationship starts between you and him. Absolutely.
I got a second chance in 1998. Mayor Sharp James gave me a job. He took a chance on me. I've been working that job since then. From a laborer to a truck driver, from a truck driver to assistant supervisor, to supervisor, to a general supervisor of parks. Dude, hey, what's going on? I'm a totally different guy, man. And people see me like, wow, I can't believe, man, you're working. I said, no, I've been working for the past 15 years. How's it going, soul brother?
What's going on? How you doing?
And I see you working hard.
All every day.
Sweat, baby, sweat.
Every day.
All right. I made a choice. My best day in prison is not as good as my worst day on the street. It's about choosing. I choose to be free. I choose to be on the street. And I choose to live, man.
There's no payday in this. You have to do this because it's right, because you believe. And if I didn't, I would have quit by now. You know why people like you are important to women? When I was at the detention center, I was talking to one of my administrators, and she was working with a young girl who had a bad body odor. And she said no one could understand where the odor was coming from. So she said she took her to the doctor, and the girl was 15 years old, had used condoms up in her vagina. So the question is, where was her mother?
You
understand? Sit up straight, man. So the question is, where was her mother? That's why people like you are important. You will get discouraged, you will get frustrated, but you think of stories like that, and the fact that, you know, these people with kids depend on you. That's the only thing that keeps me going. We are needed.
Brother Mary Baraka, give him a big hand. Brother Mary Baraka.
I want to just say 1967, people were fighting for black power. We have to see that all the stuff we went through, we got rid of the amnesios and the straight out white racists. Then we had to learn about the white racist Negroes. A Negro in there now, who's now a more educated white racist Negro. Cory Booker, Stanford University, him and Condoleezza, same place. Yale Law School, you understand? He's a Rhodes Scholar, you know what I mean? You know? And he was the president of the Oxford University Jewish Students Organization, if you can get that in your head. So now he's come over here to help us. But he ain't come over here to help us, he came over here to serve us to the people he's helping.
That's right, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. All right.
See, because you, it's not going to stop your struggle. It's going to be a higher level of struggle, but it's still going to be a struggle. And when Obama get in there, it's still going to be a struggle.
Right. Right.
Struggle ain't going to stop.
Woo, big subject. That was the legendary Amiri Baraka expressing his suspicions and his determination that Mayor Cory Booker of Newark is there to deliver, basically sell out the people to elite interests. Then he goes through his background, Stanford University, Rhodes Scholar, to support his point. This to me is, you know, gets us back to the crisis of the black intellectual, the black political leader. We've talked about this before, where someone like a Barack Obama or a Cory Booker or a Adrian Fenty out here in Washington, D.C. can rise with a mixture of support from the people and from very wealthy interests outside of the community. And the question always becomes, can the individual, whether it's Obama or Booker or Fenty, manage the aspirations of the people with the interest or with the influence of powerful interests? And I tend to believe that they can only up to a point, but the people have to rise up enough in consciousness themselves and develop a self-enlightened interest and force that politician to do what they want. The days of voting for people and hoping that they will do what you want because they like you or you like them or they agree with you or you agree with them or they know you and you know them, they're over. And they really never existed for any other people. So should Cory Booker be held to a standard that we really don't apply in action? I mean, this is a great opportunity to have that discussion if Forrest Whitaker is really going to put effort behind using Brick City to have the kind of conversation about urban renewal. Because Newark, New Jersey, you couldn't have picked a better city. If you really want to break down, get to the heart of what happened with urban renewal, as well as where the civil rights movement and black power came together to perform, to create this powerful political coalition in the 60s and 70s, then you're looking at, you got to hit D.C., you have to hit Detroit, you have to hit Newark. So they got the right city. But are they really going to have the discussion? So I've only seen two parts out of five. If you have any thoughts, let me know. One thing I will say about the movie as it depicts Mayor Booker, it does depict Cory Booker as accessible, as engaging, and as willing to hear and accept criticism. Now, I don't know if that translates into him making changes on the spot, if he's made a mistake or an error, but that is a little bit different. Most local politicians do have to deal with the people on the street. Trent from Asbury Park, he sends in a comment. Trent, are you watching this show? Trent asked the question. He says, inside scoop, Brother Cedric, Cory Booker will be the governor of New Jersey. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Tasha from Miami has checked in. She just wanted to say peace and blessings that she missed us. We miss you too, Tasha. That's Tasha from Miami. Rod from Culver City, California says that the G100 idea of Muammar Gaddafi sounds like a justifiable plan, but there is no such thing as egalitarianism when it comes to power and money. Brick City. Let me run back for those of you who may have missed it. This is the motivation behind Brick City, according to two of the producers, and I believe Forrest Whitaker. this is their motivation behind it, and the stories and the elements that they were drawn to. It sounds to me like they, I'm just being honest, I think Forrest Whitaker is a sincere brother. I don't hear any deceit. Mark Levin and the other gentleman, Benjamin, I believe is his name, they look like they're more about just making engaging television. Can they really be trying to use this to spark a discussion on urban renewal, or is this about getting a show like The Wire? Let's keep it real. Get money. But the political thing takes a little more work, I think.
I was really interested in the piece because I thought that if we could do it right, it would represent a lot of the cities across the country that needed urban renewal and that were like struggling. I was working with Mark Levin on another project, actually, and he had shot some footage in Newark and started to talk about the possibility.
I mean, obviously they're not black. I mean, I don't have, do I have to say that? Okay, we don't have to get caught up in that. They're not black. Okay, Forrest Whitaker's black, but the other two people that are primarily talking now are not black. Okay, so now that we've established that, if you have watched the show, what do you think of it?
Of creating this series. There's these unique individuals that are starting to stand up across the country. Corey is one of those premier individuals because he's doing everything possible to get people to be galvanized to believe in their environment and want to make a change. You have a police chief who's like changing the murder rate 40%, cleaning up crime, and you watch the street doctor make a difference. And I saw that from him, and I was excited about dealing with the Crips and the Bloods, this couple. You know, one Crip, one Blood coming together, you know, which is so unusual.
This is Forrest Whitaker talking.
And I was very familiar with the gang environment, particularly out of Los Angeles, because that's where I come from. You see all these individuals who you can walk by on a daily basis and maybe not know who they are, but they have individually decided to make a difference and a change, and it's working. And that means that you and I can do the same thing. And it's that thing that this series, I think, captures.
I'm Mark Benjamin. I'm the executive producer and director of Brick City with my partner, Mark Levin.
I'm Mark Levin. I am director and executive producer of Brick City with my partner, Mark Benjamin. Brick City itself, the nickname for Newark, you know, comes from bricks are hard. This is a city that's hard, it's tough, it's strong. You know, a lot of the buildings were built with bricks. They used to have a lot of brick factories there. And over we heard people talk about, you know, change is one person at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one block at a time, one soul at a time, one brick at a time.
We heard about a Robert Treat Hotel event where there was going to be a prayer breakfast of people praying for peace and against violence. And and gang members were going to come to this. Mark and I went there, and we brought a camera because we don't really go anywhere without a camera. And so this was the first prayer breakfast where we met Jada. And she spoke and stood next to her boyfriend and talked about the hood and talked about a Blood and a Crip living together and how it was a Romeo and Juliet story and how the differences between the Bloods and the Crips and fighting and this sense thing. No one really knew what it was all about. It was counterproductive for the future of the hood, and that she wanted to make that clear, that she was a outspoken activist living with the Blood and said this whole gang thing is nonsense. We can live together. We can stop killing each other.
It was just through the normal production process of starting to go to events really coming back here. And then looking at it, I mean, we were impressed, you know, but then you come back here, you get a little distance, you got some people that weren't there, and all of a sudden it's like, who's that? Wow, what a story. Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story, Blood and the Crip. And that was really how it started. How did this Romeo and Juliet story start? Jada and Creep, how did they meet? You know, it didn't fit in to the show. I mean, we tried to fit it in, but it really didn't fit in. It was more of an interview situation and stylistically didn't fit in. But for anybody who becomes interested in these characters, that's a question that always comes up. How did they meet? How did this happen?
When we first met was probably like 10 years ago. I was in a juvenile program and she was in a female program, but what was it, like a job release?
Yeah, independent living.
You know, we wasn't allowed to talk to females, but
I was the count, like junior counselor.
And I started fraternizing.
I had a little crush on him on the low, but I don't think he knew.
I didn't, but I told you 10 years ago, that's mine.
Shut up.
All up on me, look at you. Yeah. Look at you.
When we speak to the kids and we let that be known that, you know, I'm blood and he's crimp, I see nothing but, like, I see a lot of surprised looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I know it's a lot of ignorant people out here. And I know that there's a lot of people that have a problem with it. I know it is. You know what I mean? And that's just what it, but for them to try to do something to us, if they got the balls, you know, throw them.
Hey, listen, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, I have a litmus test of sorts. The Brick City documentary has a website. I haven't gone through it yet. One of the ways that they certainly can help is to actually let people know how they can donate or get involved with the various causes, the work that David Muhammad is involved with, for instance. I'd love to see that highlighted. I'm assuming that obviously something like that's going to take place. But if the mission for this show is to raise urban renewal back on the radar, then you have to give some type of indication of what President Obama's relationship with Mayor Booker has been. Obviously, Newark was a city that got an infusion of funds. But what will this documentary do on top of what President Obama has already done? What is the real urban agenda? What's the policy? Hopefully that'll come out in parts 3, 4, and 5, specifics about what Newark needs that it's not getting. And hopefully Newark will, and this is for Newark, hopefully Newark will unite. You have a lot of fiefdoms, a lot of people doing the same kind of work, competing for dollars in Newark. It's a problem. Hopefully this film will create an impetus. That's right, I said impetus, no doubt. Will create an impetus, be a catalyst for the different groups in Newark, not just Blood Crip, but the different nonprofits, the different activists, even the political spectrum, people that don't agree with one another, to come together and demand that Newark get this, that, or the other, and that residents of Newark step up and do this, that, or the other. A lot of people get divided competing for that grant money, that limelight, that attention from the city council or the mayor or school board. I know how it goes. Local politics is something else. If you've been watching this series, let me know. Also, go to finalcall.com. Interesting article on Libya, as well as a letter, an open explanation from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan about why the Nation of Islam is welcoming Muammar Gaddafi. I'm going to read some of it, inshallah, after the break or in the next hour. But you can go to finalcall.com and look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's welcome. The Nation of Islam welcomes Muammar Gaddafi. Very detailed explanation of the history between the relationship between Libya and the Nation of Islam and Muammar Gaddafi, but also what the future relationship could be. Chavez and Castro get credit for being friends of black people in America. I remember I interviewed a Congressman Benny Thompson. Fidel Castro has offered to, as many of you know, train free of charge any young black person that lives in certain areas in medical school in Cuba and come back and become a nurse or a doctor. And Benny Thompson told me how impressed he was with Fidel Castro's interest in black America and the detailed knowledge that he had on Mississippi. He told me that. Well, perhaps Muammar Gaddafi may be an even better friend. I'll get to that in a minute. We'll be right back. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Go tell somebody. I'm still talking about Brick City. We're going to I intend to put my remarks from George Mason University. I spoke at a panel, Obama, Three Views. I was on a panel with Charisse Carney Nunez, author of the children's book, I Am Barack Obama, as well as Niall Steinage, who was author of Redemption Song, an Irish reporter inside the Obama campaign. It was co-sponsored by the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute and Friends of the Sherwood Regional Library. All the wonderful students. That was an eclectic gathering. We had And I'm not lying. They must have been in their 70s. Elderly white women. And we had these young black, Latino, and Muslim. Immigrant Muslim students that were present. So it was a joy to offer something. People said they got a lot out of it. Interesting perspectives. So I'm going to try to prepare those remarks and get them out on the blog, CedricMuhammad.com.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.